And just have a short Father's Day message, and that's from the, in the Gospel of Luke. We read the story of the prodigal son in chapter 15. And it's not that long a story, so let me read from verse 11 to 32. The story of the prodigal son that all of us know very well. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the feathered calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgress your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" What a beautiful story. I don't think we can add any more to that story. We can only summarize on this Father's Day three little points about the Heavenly Father in this story. Number one, this Father, who represents, of course, Father God, has great unconditional love and compassion for His children. But there are three little points that we want to consider here. I'm sure there are hundreds of little points, but we just want to consider three. And that is, that our Heavenly Father is interested in our true prosperity. Now, when we talk about prosperity, we speak about, many times we immediately include all of these earthly possessions. But more than that, our Father wants to give us an abundant life, which is what Jesus said in John 10, verse 10. I came that they might have life, and that they might have life abundantly. And He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But He has come that we might have life, and life abundantly. So our Heavenly Father is interested in abundance for us, our true prosperity. Now, what is true prosperity? It is can be seen in the light of these two sons. The younger son, the father, of course, in this story was very, very rich. The younger son took all that belonged to him. In the earthly sense, he would be rich. And in secular terms, he was very, very rich. But yet, he was poor. He was poor, and within a short time, it manifests his poverty. Because prosperity is not the ability to afford everything you can. That was what the younger son taught. Riches and prosperity is to be able to enjoy life, to buy whatever you want, to spend on whatever you want, to partake of all the pleasures and luxuries of this life. That is not the spirit of prosperity. It's a spirit of poverty. And within a short time, that spirit of poverty caused him to physically be poor. See, he had never handled that amount of money before. When he came, the spirit of poverty led him to poverty. What about the older son? He seems to have everything. But he also had a spirit of poverty in a different way. See, everything was there and he kept on accumulating. Now, you look at it logically from an accountant's point of view. Since the father had everything and he divided between his two sons, and since the younger son has taken everything, logically all that left behind belonged to the older brother. Which is why the older brother was upset, because that fatted calf is now in his too. And so everything that was left was the older brother's inheritance. And the older brother was hardworking, like many good people out there in the world. He was very thrifty, like many good people in the world. Have you noticed he's the very opposite of his brother? Isn't it funny that you can have opposites in the same family? Right? Not so funny, you don't seem to be smiling? Right. And these are opposites in the same family. You thought that all the families share the same genes and you know, they'd be alike. Let me assure you, they are not. And so, not only are they not alike, but they are opposing poles. One was the North Pole, one was the South Pole. Similar only in its coldness, but opposite. The older brother was the opposite. The younger brother was a spendthrift. The older brother was thrifty. He got everything. And he never even once had a party. And the younger brother was having parties after parties. Isn't it terrible to see these two extremes? And that was the older brother. Now, the older brother was rich. All belonged to him. But he never could quite enjoy himself. He owned a lot of things and property. But yet, surprise, surprise, he had a spirit of poverty. He had a spirit of poverty. Because when one little thing was taken away, he was so upset and angry that he refused to join the party. He refused to come in. And he was angry at his father. What kind of spirit is that? What kind of attitude is that? Is a spirit of poverty. Then what is true prosperity? Now, let me mentioned, true prosperity does lead to physical prosperity. And don't discount that. But we need to look very carefully at what true prosperity is. If the older brother is not really prosperous, because having a lot of money and property in God's sight doesn't mean you're rich yet. Once in a while, Fortune 500 will come out with the 10 richest or the 500 richest men in the world. And they say, these are the richest. What is the definition of riches? That these people own a lot of things. Therefore, they must be rich. That's the world's definition. That's the Fortune 500 classification. What about the Hemony classification? When God looks down at the 6 billion people on this earth, who do you think God classifies as the richest on this earth? What about God's top 500 richest sons or daughters on this earth? How does God classify? See, true prosperity is from the heart. And heaven doesn't measure your prosperity by your ability to spend, like the younger brother, or by your ability to own. Heaven measures your prosperity by your ability to give. So as far as God is concerned, the world's classification of the 500 richest men could be the poorest. Because though they may own billions, in terms of proportion, now God measures by proportion. That is why you have such a thing as the tithe. God never asks you what is the minimum amount to give. He just says your tithe. The word tithe in Hebrew just means 10%. 10%, that means if you earn a dollar, you only are obligated to give 10 cents. If it's $100, it's only $10. But the strange thing about the tithe is this. The people at either extreme struggle with the tithe. The people in between normally don't. Because they are just sufficient and they are happy as they are. The people at both extremes. Those who are in need and every cent counts. Who are struggling with their rental, their payments, their food. They struggle with giving the tithe. And surprisingly, those who are very rich too struggle with their tithe. See, how can that be? Yes, because a tithe of $1 is 10 cents. A tithe of $1 million is $100,000. And most of them are like the elder brother. It sounds very big. It's a fatted calf. And a tithe of $10 million is $1 million. It gets bigger and bigger. So the bigger the tithe is, they struggle. Ooh, this is too much to give. And they began to ask a question. Can those people who I'm giving be able to receive it? Questions that they never asked before. So I find two groups of people struggle with tithe. The one on the extreme struggling with their livelihood. The other who are great abundance struggle with the tithe. And so in terms of the 500 richest people, when you think in terms of the proportion of their giving to themselves, the 500 may be disqualified from God's books. Because we're not sure whether Bill Gates died. Yes, I know he gave billions to charity. But in terms of what he has, he may not even have given a tithe yet. And so from God's perspective, how rich and prosperous you are is measured by something on your internal side. Your generosity of spirit. Where you have a little and yet you share. You have much and you also share. And who does that typify in this story? The Father. Look at the generosity of the Father. The Son asks for his livelihood. The Father says, okay, here, take it. And he's generous. And he told the elder brother,
you know, if you had wanted to,